Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 30th day of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call are the following: Red October, Q, Comms Down, and Open Mic. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, who was later named, and he was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. I do apologize, playing the song requires me to kind of juggle a few programs around here on the screen, so I can't follow my little notepad as easily as I could before. So I apologize for that. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew, and to my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambith. We do welcome callers. We do ask that you wait for a little bit, though, before you put the either the star 6 on your phone or the little icon on your computer screen that says for a question or an answer. Give some time for me to get everything out I have to, and then we'll open up the mic and have a general discussion. We are in the question and answer mode, which means that when you log in, either on computer or by phone, you are automatically muted, okay? So you don't have to worry about muting your own phone. You'll be automatically muted. And I just got a text here, so let me just check this out real quick. Okay, Jimmy just sent me his graphic. All right, very good. And yes, shout out to our fellow listeners over at bankversusutv.com with Jimmy there in Tampa. And welcome to the program. So anyway, yeah, you'll be muted until such time as you signal me by one of those methods, and then I will unmute you and welcome you to the program. Our website is www.pastordan, and that's together with no space, pastordan.net. And again, a reminder that Jimmy's radio and TV station is Bank, B-A-N-K, Bank versus V-S, Victor Sierra, U-Y-O-U-TV.com. Now, I got some verses I want to share with you because I think they're appropriate based on what we're going to cover tonight, the latest Q posts and other information that has been sent out on the web, sort of telling us that we should be paying close attention to what's going on right now, folks. This is not a time for being lackluster or not being diligent in your duties as head of households and as Israelites. A lot of stuff going on. I want to remind you also, we were told at the end of August that September was a month of preparation. That was a proclamation made by our president. I believe it was a heads up to those with eyes to see and ears to hear, much like a watchman on the wall. That was a warning to the Patriot community, which, of course, we are all part of. And today is the last day of both September and, according to the Luni solar calendar anyway, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So for those who have been celebrating the feast on this calendar, we want to wish you a happy feast time. Tomorrow is a Sabbath day, according to that calendar. And again, it depends what calendar your particular group decides to go with. We have probably three or four major ones amongst identity believers. I think what's important is that the congregation in whatever location you are agrees on what you're going to go by and do the best you can. The idea, as Richard Ford told us, the feasts were rehearsals for our ancient ancestors, and after the time of what they were rehearsing for had passed, then they became remembrances. And he said that these are things for teaching us, both ahead of time and then as a historical thing after the time. So just remember that. And, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles is in gathering, the time of Christ's first coming. We believe it to be the time of his second coming. Again, that's a guess. But it's also the time for one of the three times of the year that the men, the warriors, are called to a solemn assembly. And the soldier's ransom is offered up, and a prayer and a blessing is offered by the elders over the warriors for their protection, that Yahweh put his protection on our people. And I believe we need that today. So a $1 donation, guys, that's all it takes. That's the ransom. It was a half shekel of silver, which if you use today's value, it's approximately, not exact, but approximately $1. Just put $1 towards Father's work, his kingdom, his word, whatever. Whatever between you and the Father you want to come up with, and then accept the blessing of protection and guidance and strength and courage that be in all of our warrior men at this time. So anyway, in light of all this that's going on, I wanted to read these verses real quick. Joshua 10, verse 8, Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hands. Not a man of them will stand before you." You know, it reminds me of the story of Gideon and his 300 when they went out against a much, much larger force. And Gideon and his 300 men followed Yahweh, trusted Yahweh, did exactly as they were told. And they not only defeated this much larger enemy force, but the amazing thing was that Gideon did not lose a single man. Not one man did he lose of his 300. Psalm 27, verse 3, "Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then I will be confident." Jeremiah 2, verse 19, "Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken Yahweh your Elohim God, and that my fear is not in you, says Yahweh, Lord of armies." Nehemiah 4, verse 14, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember Yahweh, which is great and terrible." Now here, the word terrible doesn't mean it the way we use it today as much as he means to invoke a sense of trembling and reverence. So, "Yahweh, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." Luke 12:1, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all." Now, he said to his disciples, first of all, meaning he talked to everybody else later, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Again, what is leavening? You look it up in an exhaustive dictionary. Anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. That's called leavening, and that's what the Father is talking about here. Beware of the leaven of the Jew Pharisee that walks amongst you, because it is just like the termite. The tiny, small, almost imperceptible changes that they make within your society, just like the termite, constantly working away tirelessly, 24/7, eating away until one day your nation collapses. And then it ends it with, which is hypocrisy. Now, Hippocrates is the Greek word that comes from, and it's where we get the word hypocrite. But the Greeks used that as the word for an actor. And if you think about it, it's actually the same thing, isn't it? A person who pretends to be something he is not. And what did we just discover, the Attorney General in Connecticut, about him? Blumenthal, the Talmud thumper. He lied about being in the Marine Corps in the war. He made up stories about bravery in battle, and yet he had never been in battle in the Marines. He had, I think, 5 or 6 deferments so that he never saw battle. He was in the reserves, but never left the States, never was in battle. And yet he's telling them when he's running for office and all this, just like a Jew. If his lips are moving, he's lying. So Christ warned us in the book of Luke, and for all the Judeo-Christians out there, you Zionist Christians, you lovers of the devil, because that's what Christ said of them, they are of their father the devil. So you hold them up as God's chosen, and he condemned them as children of the devil. Isn't that amazing? So now we go to Proverbs 22, verse 3. "A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple, or the uneducated, pass on and are punished." So right there, a little bit of common sense. If you see evil on the horizon, if you think something's coming that could potentially be evil, which is exactly where we are tonight on the 30th of September, on the precipice of potentially evil things happening. Jeremiah 51 and 20, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces the nations, meaning the other races. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Today that would be governments. That would be nation states, kingdoms. They're all man-made creations. Yahweh didn't divide the world up into nation states, did he? City states or nation states? Of course he didn't. Isaiah 12 and 4, and in that day ye shall say, praise Yahweh. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Didn't Father say that everything that we hear about going on right now is to do what? Bring glory to him, right? Isn't he supposed to get all the glory and the honor for what's about to happen? Exactly, because if it was up to our people, we'd be dead. If it was up to us being righteous and doing the right things, we'd be dead. If it was up to us in the sense of having a much larger army than the enemy, we'd be dead. Even though we outnumber them, meaning patriots, militiamen, and everything, but those of us who also know the Father and are patriots are a lot smaller in number. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, meaning the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, meaning my family, we will serve Yahweh. Big choices to be made very, very soon. Mark 13:22, for false Christ or pseudo Christs and false prophets, pseudo prophetes, shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Can you say John Hagee? Can you say Kenneth Copeland? Can you say Jimmy Swaggart? Oral Roberts? Robert Schuller? And on and on and on. And they will show signs and wonders to seduce, even if it were possible, the elect. Why are the elect not possible to be seduced by lying lips of the Kenneth Copelands of this world? Because you have the Holy Spirit of the Father within you. He does not allow you to fall for it. In fact, the very presence of these people, the very sound of their voice, is like nails on a chalkboard to a real believer. I don't know how anybody could actually sit through an entire service with these mealy-mouthed little servants of Satan speaking. I don't know how you can do it. It's just like the first time I heard Bill Clinton or Barack Obama speaking. As soon as I heard their voice, I didn't even look at the picture. I heard their voice over somebody's radio or television. I went, who is that? Mark 13, verse 22. Oh, I already read that one. Okay. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or truth. Because you have rejected knowledge or truth, I will also reject you, that you shall no more be priests to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of Yahweh, I will also forget your children, your seed, your descendants. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Does anything in that verse say anything about half-truths, misinformation, rumors? No. Just like Bill Halter said, this had better be the year that truth matters, or it's curtains for everybody. Isaiah 5 and 20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Basically, woe unto them who turn everything upside down. And who are the greatest agitators that walk this earth and turn things upside down? Ye better believe it, the Talmud thumpers. Zionist, Bolshevik, Communist Jews. Psalm 9:9. Yahweh also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. I think that's where we're at, folks. I really do. I know we've been warning and been watchmen on the wall for a very long time, and many people have said, well, just like the Bible says, our people, stiff-necked as they are, sometimes a little bit on the pretentious and arrogant side, and sitting around going, well, the sun's still shining. I still got a job. I still got a car and driveway, so where's all the trouble? Well, okay. Just hang on to that. Let me know how it works out for you in a few weeks. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Pay attention. This is a discussion of the latter days. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Difficult, but not overcoming, folks. Not for you and me. For men will be lovers of self, self-centered, lovers of money. Yeah, we got plenty of that. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. Oh, kind of reminds me of where I left. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. In other words, going through the motions. And avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, meaning transgressions of the law. The Greek word for this, by the way, that they translate here, weak women, also applies to effeminate men. So it's to both of those. Led on by various impulses. Haven't you seen our guys at the malls, at the sports arenas, at the workplace? The cucks, the soy boys, yeah, weak-willed women, weak, effeminate men, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, constantly being educated. We got people walking around, sometimes they got enough letters behind their name, it uses up more characters than their own name does, meaning they've got that many degrees. But it doesn't mean they have the truth. So they're always learning, always going to school, always buying books, always studying tapes and tracks, always listening to something on YouTube, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they don't seek the truth. They want knowledge, but they don't want the truth. They don't want you to bust their comfort zone. Don't bust that bubble, that comfort zone they have around themselves. Verse 8, and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. So here again, it's the truth is the key thing today. You want to know who you should be talking to and witnessing to and fellowshipping with? And truth seekers. And that's it. If they don't want the truth, they don't love the truth enough that they're willing to suffer for it, or go through the pain of realizing you've been lied to, then you don't want to be around them or allow them around you. So these men who oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all. Look, take a look at what's been going on in Washington this past week and in the news media and everything else, the fake news media. They're going completely nuts. So their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be, meaning Jambres and Jhanas. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all Yahweh delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, will be persecuted. Doesn't say you'll be killed, doesn't say you'll be overcome, doesn't say that you're going to submit to them. It just says persecuted. And don't truth tellers get persecuted? Absolutely. But evil men and imposters, imposters, you think he's talking about the Revelation 2:9 Jews, those who say they are of Judah, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan? Could be those guys, right? But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. I think it's fun when you see that so-called doctor, even though there's no record of her having a degree, a doctorate. But anyway, she calls herself a doctor, but then again, she's a crypto-Jew, and so, that's right, they do lie. And she's being represented by a Jewish, prominent Jewish law firm there in Washington, trying to coach her through this Kavanaugh thing. And who's sitting beside her? In the one clip I watched, the guy and the two females, all three fellow Talmud thumpers. So the whole crew are Talmud thumpers, and we wonder why there's not a truth, not a shred of truth in anything they're doing or saying. So these evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, they think they cannot lose. That's why they have so much chutzpah right now. They think they cannot lose, just like those government people caught on a hidden camera talking about the fact that, well, of course we use work time to do for the democratic socialists. We put out emails, make up flyers. Of course we do. He said, besides that, you can't fire a federal employee. In other words, once we get hired into this garbage, you can't get rid of us. You know, that's not far from the truth, because I had a buddy that worked for the Tennessee Valley Authority, the power plants there, and I worked at Savannah River, which is a Department of Energy facility. And I'm going to tell you, some of the dregs of society would be found on those sites, and you can't get rid of them, especially if they are of the protected class, meaning non-white and female. Those two categories. If they're in either one of those two or both, you can't hardly get rid of them. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. Now remember this Greek word, soter, in the Greek, is to be saved from physical harm. Has nothing to do with the church world's come down to the altar and get salvation prayed on you, brother. Come down here and we're just going to lay hands on you and, oh my God, you're going to fall over and come up baptized in the Spirit. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of them people that go down there, that's the furthest thing from what really goes on. This salvation it's talking about is salvation from an enemy, like an army, an invading army, such as in the illegal immigrant invasion. All right? That's what the Greek word meant. And maybe you don't care, so you can go ahead and keep up with the lamestream, fake and phony Christianity churches. So which leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach. All scripture is inspired by Yahweh God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So even though we are in a very precarious period of time right now, seeing how tomorrow starts Red October, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I've actually copied a couple of the latest Q posts, and I've watched others interpret it. I'm going to give you a combination of what I believe and they believe. And these had the proper timestamp and ID on them, so it looks to be for real. But basically, on the 29th of September at 4 p.m. Eastern, the Q team, which is a team of people, said that Twitter has been given the green light to blanket censor all content deemed to threaten their survival, and then in brackets, election. Meaning, if they don't turn this thing around by the midterms, they know they're all going to go at least to jail. Some of them, it may be much more severe than that. And so that's why you see people like Feinstein and the rest of them, the ilk in Washington, D.C., literally climbing out of their skins, pulling out all the stops because they have to derail this train, because literally their careers, their fortunes, and possibly their very life is on the line. So the left, the commies, the Zionist commies are fighting every way they can. So the management at Twitter has been given a green light to the employees to blanket censor. So look for that to be happening. Google and Facebook will follow because they're all Jew-owned. They're all communist Jew and intelligence agency-funded organizations. All right? So remember, I told you many, many, many years ago about the intelligence agencies in this country were taken over by the Jews at the top level. And I told you about Time Magazine having that guy Schultz. I can't remember if it was CIA or FBI. I think it was FBI. He was the top man on the Facebook, on the face of Time Magazine, and his two second-in-commands were a man and a woman. Their pictures were on the left and right of them in the background, and the Time Magazine article was saying something to the effect Schultz and his team heading up the FBI, all three of them were Talmudists, all three of them, dual citizenship traitors to this country. And that was way back then. Same thing when Michael Chertoff was made the first head of the Homeland Security after 9/11. Michael Chertoff, let's see, Chertoff in Russian means son of the devil. He was the son of a rabbi, sort of sounds like Mordecai Levy, doesn't it? The father of the Communist Manifesto, and leader, sort of like the father, like George Washington was the father of our Christian Constitutional Republic. Levi, son of a rabbi, was the came up with the whole communist idea. And here we have Michael Chertoff, the son of a piece of crap rabbi. He was a federal judge in New Jersey under indictment for criminal activity, and yet he's put in charge of Homeland Security. And he's still doing his nefarious deeds walking amongst our people today. But that's how things start out. And so when you see things like this that Q is telling us, Twitter, Google, and Facebook have been given the green light for blanket censorship of anything they think will harm them. In other words, anything that will expose them for their treason, that they're going to fight it back. Next line says here, all caps, expect comms blackout attempt, as in the president's Twitter account. It could go further than that. They've already blacked out some Twitter accounts of some heavy hitters in the conservative movement. So expect that. Next line is, rogue employee will be the excuse. So this will be a good test to see what happens. They already know that they're going to do this and then tell the public that it was a rogue employee. It was completely an accident. It wasn't all of us Jews and intelligence people at the top that run the show. No, we didn't tell them to do that. Of course not. But then again, you've been given a clue. Their lips are moving, which means what? That's right, they're lying. It's in the next line here. It says, welcome to the police state. Thank you, Q, for vindicating all of us patriots that for the past 35 years, in fact, since Vietnam, have been talking about us leading and going towards a police state, and all of our friends and all the people down at the church and everybody at work going, oh, we're never going to go there. Oh, that's just, you're just paranoid. Okay, right. Welcome to the police state. That comes right out of the highest levels of the executive branch right now in the military. So apparently, I guess we knew what we were talking about. Next line, they know if they lose, it's over. Now, these are all in all caps, which is a way of writing to get your attention, as if somebody's shouting at you. The time to fight, with 8 exclamation points, is now. Again, we're at the end of September, the month of preparation, and Q has told us that October would be Red October for probably several reasons. Next line, good versus evil. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Haven't we talked about that on the program? Look at your books. The Dead Sea Scrolls talks about the children of light versus the children of darkness at the end of this earth age, just before the New Jerusalem and the restoration of things. Good versus evil. Next line, humanity is at stake. Hallelujah! Again, those of us here at By Yahweh's Design and all our great listeners, we've been talking about this for years. Yes, humanity is at stake. What's the book say? That's right. If he didn't come back when he did, no flesh would be saved. How about that? Drop the memes is the next line. For those of you that follow Q, Q's been kind of hinting that in this warfare against the censors, put memes together because they do not have the technology to stop the memes with their artificial intelligence, at least not at this time. Next line says, the silent majority no more. Hallelujah for that. The silent majority has woke up, as evidenced by the election of Trump. Be loud, you have a voice. Amen. Be ye doers and not hearers only. Sort of fits with Scripture, doesn't it? Then he says here, are you registered? Vote them all out. Prepare. Red October. We stand together. Q. Now, there's been a couple of the pundits that believe Q is a group of 9, 6 of which are high-level military, and 3 in the civilian sector, but equally as high with a Q or top-secret clearance, which would make perfect sense, and also our POTUS is part of it. Okay, then there was another one that was put out today, and I think this was yesterday. It starts out with just the capital R, which usually stands for Republican, and then below it says Red October. Again, that starts tomorrow. A lot of things are going to happen in the month of October. Next line is a capital D. Typically, it stands for Democrats. It says, now these are in order. So the Democrats, after that, it says Justice Kavanaugh confirmation. So Q's telling us even all this show, again, okay, it's a show. What's going on for the TV cameras and on C-SPAN and all the fake news media is just a show. This stuff has already been decided behind closed doors, just like North Korea was. The whole time the Communist News Network and all the rest of the liars in front of their cameras were trying to get you to worry about North Korea, it was already a done deal. Done deal. That's why the president has been passing information off to the heads of state by courier. He's not using telephones. He's not using email. He's not using any form of electronics. He takes and sends messages to and from the heads of state via couriers with either handwritten or typewritten letters. That's smart. So right after the Kavanaugh confirmation comes declassification. That's the next line. Right after declassification, goodbye, Mr. Rosenstein. Brackets, payment in full. Hopefully that will mean that he will be found guilty of treason and properly executed. Then we're given a CBS News clip where it shows the flake, Jeff Flake, and how he was gotten to, and he changed his mind on voting for going forward with the full vote. And then there's a quote here, Flake's decision, and they're talking about Congressman Jeff Flake, What a piece of work he is. His decision came after he spoke to senators of both parties and withstood pressure from some Republicans not to take such a step. As he considered his course of action, Flake also had a conversation with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, another one of those Talmud thumpers, lips moving, must be lying, who is in charge of Special Counsel Robert Mueller and his investigation. Then the next line, define treason. And he says, the crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign, as in the president, or overthrow the existing government. Treason. Then it says, define subversion, the act of subverting, the state of being subverted, especially a systematic attempt to overthrow or undermine a government or political system by persons working secretly from within. Now, why do you think all this stuff's being talked about? So that the average bumpkin out here, we're not talking about you militia guys and you identity patriots and believers. You guys have been studying this stuff up for years. This is for the Johnny-come-latelys that don't have a clue. All they know is what they see on that boob tube every night, the Talmud vision. And they think that's reality. They're trying this cue, and what they're trying to do is get the people that have never taken that muscle called a brain and actually put it to good use. They've never done it. So this is a way to awaken not only us, to give us an idea so that we'll relax a little bit, but it's also an attempt to wake up more people out there that just don't typically think very much. They really don't. Think line of questions regarding Senator Graham to Justice Kavanaugh regarding enemy combatants. That's what these people are, including especially these Jews. And then they put an 800 number down here. They put down here 1-800-273-8255. I looked it up, and guess what that is? That's the hotline to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. What a clever way to say, be on the lookout for troubled people. They may take their own life because it's coming to an end, like John McCain took the pill. He took the pill. He took the easy way out. He didn't want to face the firing squad. He didn't want to face a public that was told by the Jewish-controlled media that he was a hero, and you find out he's nothing more than a piece of dirt. Now, interesting, when you go to this website for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, what do they have in the background on their homepage but a very pretty brunette sitting there smiling, talking to her boyfriend, the black guy? Oh, these people just don't ever quit, do they? Of course, they may have a reason for putting it up there, because if you're dumb enough to be interly racially married or dating, then you may need a suicide prevention lifeline, because at some point, you're going to realize that you've made a big, big mistake. And don't you dare contact me and tell me, well, I've got a friend that's white guy married to a Filipino, Dan, and they're just as happy as can be. Please don't hand me that garbage. Because here's what I want you to do. You don't have to convince me of anything. You take it up with the Father and the authors of what we call Scripture. You take it up with our ancestors, who the only reason that you and I are white today is for thousands of generations, our people felt it was important to maintain our purity. Because only a pure white female and a pure white male can have a white child. Anything less than that is a mamzer, otherwise known as a mongrel, otherwise known as a half-breed. And go read the Scriptures for yourself, what it says about bastards. That's what a bastard is, a half-breed. Go see, and it's also the term in the Scriptures many times referred to them as monsters. And if you read Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, he has all of the scientific studies to support the fact that racially mixed children are prone to a host of physical and mental issues because you have created a monster. I'm sorry. If that hurts your feelings, if you are related to somebody who's mixed blood, your neighbor's mixed blood, your child is dating or married to another race, I don't give a damn. That's your problem. You didn't talk to them when they were young, did you? You didn't put your foot down, did you? So they put this 800 number up here, and it's got the next line says, operator standing by, Q. I thought that was kind of a cute little thing. Then they had a short one that was put out back at 3:53 p.m. today that just says, all caps, Red October, stay tuned and watch, Q+. Now, Q+, we're not quite sure if it means the whole Q team or the whole Q team plus POTUS. But I thought you should know that. So we are, again, coming up to a period of time that we've been talking about for a very, very long time. The Watchmen on the Wall have. Many other people have been talking about it. So I send out a newsletter. If you're not getting my news clips, I put a few links and hot news items. I send them out by email. I also post those same links on my website, PastorDan.net. So if you're not getting them by email, you can go to my website, check on the Daily Mail page, and you'll see the links to the hottest news clips. A lot of it has to do with interpreting the Q posts, but it also has people that don't necessarily even agree with Q. They're just patriots. They're pundits of what's going on in the political world. But the thing of it is, many times they come to the same conclusions. They just word things differently. That's all. Q is more like insiders trying to feed us information but not overstep their limits as far as national security. So it's actually a brilliant way to do it. It's a way to educate us and inform us without giving away state secrets. It's also a way to tickle our imaginations and our brains to cause us to come out of the deep sleep we've been in. And put our and here's the other aspect of it. It also is telling us to work as a team. How many times have we talked about that here? That the Ark could possibly be made of people at the end of the age instead of planks of wood. Our Ark is us, folks. The fact that we love each other, care about each other, work with each other, look out for each other, inform each other, pray for each other like a family, because that's what we are. We are a family. Doesn't matter what country you live in or state of the union, what language or dialect of our languages that you speak. If you are a son or daughter of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you're one of our kinsmen. Now, for the other folks out there, everybody says, well, Dan, you, at times you sound like a white supremacist. Does that mean you hate all the other races? Well, first of all, anybody that's known me, and I've walked this earth for 65 years, I've never harmed a soul on purpose. Never. And that goes for white or non-white. And the people at the work at the plants, it's on record that I never once treated anybody any differently based on color, position, none of that. Now, if they asked me my opinion, I'd give them my opinion, and we got into some very heated political debates at times at the plant, but never once did it interfere how I treated them as a worker. I never once tried to punish them for their beliefs or hold it against them. I accept the fact that people don't always agree. That's okay. I don't ask anybody to believe me completely. I have said from day one, almost 19 years now, and before that at live gatherings and festivals, I bring you what is the result of my thousands and thousands of hours of study and research and what I'm told by the Holy Spirit. I bring those two things together, and how does it match up with what's happening in the world, and give you my point of view as to what that all means, and I pass it on to you, my brothers and sisters. What you do with it is your business. That's just the way it is. I am not responsible for you as far as what you do with the truth. I am only responsible, and I'm only fulfilling the promise I made to present to you what I have learned. And that's it. That's as far as it goes. Now, I've had people call me up and say, Dan, I'd like to talk to you about, you had a certain subject on the other night, and I got a few questions. Call me. I love it. Trust me. Anybody that knows me, knows I'm a talker, all right? And sometimes I get tired from that, but it's a labor of love. It's what I'm here for. I've known that for a long, long time. It's what I'm here for. That's why Father made me as I am. And it's my desire that nobody gets hurt, folks. If Father would say, Dan, what would you like to have happen? I would like to see the world repent. I would like to see the wicked decide to get in some kind of a craft and just get out of here. Just leave us, please, in peace. Just get the hell out of here. No more mayhem, no more death, no more rape, no ritual satanic abuse. Just leave us alone. Get out of here. And then we could build our communities, build our schools, our hospitals, bring back real healing. Natural healing. Bring back real food and not this polluted junk that's created by these corporations. Breathe fresh air. Drink spring water. Play in our yards and in our communities without worrying about locking your doors or that some creep or pervert's going to walk off with your child. Where I grew up, that never happened. As children, we walked for miles through woods and fields, or down country roads and dirt roads to neighbors' houses. Never once did it enter our mind that we needed to worry that somebody would do something like that. Because it was a whole different generation of people, a whole different morality, and the men were men. I'm going to tell you something. Where I grew up, if you were stupid enough to abduct a child, you wouldn't have to worry about what the authorities would do to you. You'd have to worry about what the men of the community would do to you when they caught you, because they weren't going to wait for no damn sheriff or local cops to show up. They'd have grabbed their rifles and their search lanterns, and they would have taken off after you, because men were still men back then. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate growing up amongst those kind of men. It was scary at times. It was scary. As a young lad, 9, 10, 11 years old, working out in the hay fields or up in the barn milking cows, because you never knew what they were going to do to you. They were an ornery bunch. You might be up in the hayloft. Next thing you know, they're dumping hay bales from the elevator down on top of you. Just to poke fun at you or squirt milk at you. My uncle Ronnie used to do it all the time. Take the teat of the cow and just start nailing you 8-9 feet away. That's how good he was. Strong hands, obviously. The point of it is they would do those kind of tricks to you, but they were also very stern. Very stern. They expected you to behave. They expected you to respect their position in the family. They expected you to do what you were told when you were told to do it. Those were the expectations. And here's the good news. If you learned to deal with that and you did what you were told to do, you also saw the side of family that was very loving, very nurturing. It would take you to the Dairy Queen or like my dad did after I helped my brother and sister. I helped my mom get my brother and sister through the mumps. They had a bad case of it. They both had it at the same time and were bedridden, and so I helped her. And my dad came home with it wasn't brand new, it was used. I think he said he paid $10 for it. A Marlin 22 long rifle, bolt action rifle. That was my gift from my father for helping mom out. That thing could have been made of solid gold. as far as I was concerned. That's how much it meant to me. It's not the value, folks. It's the thought. It's what things represent that matter. Why do you think the scriptures tell us Father looks upon our hearts? Do you think he cares one iota as to what you drive or live in or how much money's in your bank account? Do you think he even cares about what you look like, what kind of clothes you're wearing, what kind of friends or societal things you go to, who your favorite sports figures are? Do you think he cares in the least about any of that? I can tell you very, very plainly, no, he does not. He cares about what's in your chest, figuratively, what's in your heart. In our way of speaking 2,000 years later, when we say that, we're talking about the psyche, what's inside your soul, heart. What drives you? What are your motives? What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you laugh? What makes you sing like a bird? Is it righteous things or evil things? And I currently am of the opinion Q is right on the money. I think we are entering a point in this escalation of good versus evil to where we have the evil cornered. With the things I saw today about the coming reset, financial reset, and the currencies of the world are going to shift. That's not up for debate, folks. It is going to happen. I hope you know that. All the time we've been telling you a three-month supply. I hope and pray you're paying attention. Because now it's more important than ever. You'd better have enough to stay put for at least 3 months. You may not need it. That's true, depending on where you live. But you had better be prepared for it should you need to stay hunkered down. And that includes having a means of self-defense. One of my preferred means of self-defense is a good rifle with 30 caliber ammunition in it. You can choose whatever you want. Maybe it's a pitchfork. Maybe it's a taser. Maybe it's a bottle full of ammonia. I don't know. That's up to you. But you better have something that you can protect your family and your property and your goods during this time. If it goes badly, okay? Again, we don't know exactly from moment to moment how this end time scenario plays out. We really don't know for certain. You're liable to see most anything. I'm fully convinced we as believers have angelic beings on our side. I believe Father does keep his feathers, as Psalm 91 says, around his children. I feel that way. And I think many of my brothers and sisters that I communicate with feel the same way as well. We can sense Father watching out for us. And why is that? Because we love Father and we do Father's will. And we teach his laws. We don't teach that they've been done away with. We teach people that they should obey them. Which brings what? Salvation. The real word salvation versus what the mainstream teaches says. So Father says when people fit into that category, they're entitled to some supernatural help. Everybody else should be aspiring to reach that level. And again, we're not saying that because we think it makes us better than anybody. We're just simply telling you how we got to where we are. And I would hope that everybody would want to be in that same category. Because, and again, I know you've heard this from the watchman, and you're probably tired of hearing it. I know I've been tired of hearing a lot of things over the years, okay? So I understand it. I'm a person just like everybody else. I understand the impatience, the tired of hearing about it, when are we going to see, blah, 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 and on and on and on. Okay, I understand that. But from my perspective, I must tell you, I have never seen it like it is right now. I've never seen so many indicators coming from so many circles. Whether you're talking about Russia today, whether you're talking about Southeast Asia, what's coming out of there, what's coming out of Europe, what's coming out of South America, what's coming out of the Q posts, and just plain what you can see happening in society around you. I've never seen things this bad, ever. You take a look at the degeneracy of our society and the things that are going on. You look at people like that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that hag Jew on the Supreme Court, who doesn't believe we should even have an age of consent, which is another way of saying it's okay to have sex with a child of any age. Why is she even still here, let alone on the highest court, appellate court? Supreme Court's an appellate court, folks. So why is this hag, who doesn't represent our race, doesn't represent our culture, doesn't represent faith in the Father, just like the article I read, Judaism is based on Talmudism, has nothing to do with your scriptures. That's the big joke on the white Christian people that think the Jews and Judaism is based on the Torah of the Old Testament that you study. No, it's based on Talmudic law. Rabbis and their rantings and the Talmud has nothing to do with the Old Testament in ancient Hebrew, not this fake square-blocked Hebrew that these imposters use. You see how the devil's in the details? Do you see why he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees? It's those small, almost imperceptible changes that get by everybody except the elect. If you're part of that elect, then praise Yahweh for it. And you should be thanking him every night your head hits the pillow. Every night your head hits the pillow, you should be thanking Father. For whatever reason, he picked you to bring you up out of this absolute hideous cesspool and raise you to a level of consciousness to where you can pick this stuff up and understand it. I'm going to open up the phone lines here in a minute, but again, the main topic tonight is the fact that we're getting ready to go into Red October. Red could also mean a couple things. Red as in red alert. It could mean red in the sense that there is a red tsunami as far as conservative voters, particularly the white patriots that are fed up, the same ones that went out in droves during the Trump candidacy. And then for the election to make sure no funny stuff was going on. So that could be also it. It could be red in the sense it could be bloody. It just depends how things go. Big month, though. Big month. The fiat money system is going to go away. There is no doubt about that, and we're very, very close to that coming. What does it mean to you and me? It means it's a change, folks. That's all. Doesn't mean life is going to come to an end. It doesn't even mean that your dollars will be worthless. What it means is that the merchants of the world are not going to accept this Jewish Federal Reserve digital-only phony money system any longer. They've woken up to the fact that it's a sham, a Ponzi scheme, and they're not going to trade commodities of real value for Jewish digits in a computer. Those days are over. They're just over, okay? So something's going to come out of it, and if we can bear up and get through it, it's going to be good. It's painful because we allowed this to go on since 1913. So where was my grandparents? Where were my parents? Why did they not fight this? Why did they not see through this? I don't know. Can't answer it. Q has said that the comms are at the ready, and that's what this national alert, which is coming up here in 3 days, is all about, because of what we just talked about here, that the the rogue elements of military intelligence in league with the Mossad, who control things like Google, Twitter, and Facebook, may try to pull those platforms down for patriots. They may even just pull them down altogether because too much information is going out there. So the emergency broadcast system is being readied and tested for a way for our commander-in-chief to notify us directly that way, and also alternative platforms are being set up. And many of the YouTube patriots and pundits are already setting up new accounts on things like BitChute, Steemit, Real.Video, and there's a bunch of others, okay? But just pick out your favorite YouTubers, the ones that you think do a damn good job of digging into things and presenting their material. Go get yourself a list of the ones you like and then start keeping track, because they're listing it on YouTube right now. They're putting links to these alternative platforms, and you need to take the ones that you like the most and keep track of where they're going to go to should these traitors within us do these things, okay? Because we've been warned now. Mike Adams, whether you like him or not, put out a thing about potential civil war and the fact that we need to be prepared for self-defense, and I think that's true. So just be on alert, folks. The president, whether you like him or not, he is the commander-in-chief. He is the highest executive officer within our current form of government. I think that's going to change here in the near future. But he's warning you. Whoever these Q folks are warning you, okay? They are trying to alert you that some serious stuff could be happening. We got planes falling out of the sky. Anytime that happens, Q has already told us that 70% of all plane crashes are not by accident. Did you understand what I just said? 70%, that's 7 out of every 10 reported plane crashes are intentionally committed, meaning through sabotage and assassination, meaning some government agency of some country caused that plane to go down for political gain or political reasons. I'll give you 3 guesses on who is at the top of the list of the countries that would pull that kind of crap. Now, Jimmy, I'm going to have Jimmy come on here because I just saw him post something here. He said that 2 planes, I did see that, 2 planes, one of them a military plane, in South Carolina, which happens to be where Lindsey Graham is from, just this week, and he said 3 of his good friends are dead. Two of his good friends are dead. So I'll have you on here in a minute, Jimmy. You can tell us about that. So, again, we're coming out of that month of preparedness. I hope and hope and hope that you're hearing the words. You're hearing the warnings. It doesn't take much, folks. Please. Please. 2 months, 3 months of material so that you can sit tight, not go to work. If this thing gets ugly, you're not going to be out on the streets. You understand what I'm saying? First of all, it's not going to be safe. Second of all, there's not going to be anything open because everybody else is going to stay hunkered down. And what little food and supplies on the shelves, that'll be gone in no time. And I've been through blizzards in the north and all that. I saw exactly how that works. It only takes a relatively, maybe what, 12 hours, 18 at most, and the shelves are bare. As soon as the average person sees any kind of trouble coming, shelves are bare. So they're trying to tell you 3 months of water, a way of having water, enough food to keep you alive, not 12-ounce porterhouse steak type meals. I don't care if it's just honey and oatmeal. It'll keep you alive. Yeah, it'll get boring, but who the hell cares? It's better than starving to death, all right? Honey, oatmeal, beans, rice, stuff that's easy to store, easy to cook, and prepare, and it'll fill your belly. That's all it takes. Beans, bullets, and bandages. You better have some alcohol. You better have some peroxide. You better have some gauze. You better have some bandage material, just in case. I bought a nice surplus U.S. Medical kit that's carried in the field of combat. Made in Germany, all stainless steel instruments, cost almost nothing. Next to nothing is military surplus. There's ways of finding it, folks. And we're really that close. If you haven't done it, you better get it done tomorrow. Whatever you can put together, even if it's just 7 days, put something together for hunkering down so that you don't have to panic. If the word comes down, stay put. Streets are looking bad. You want to be able to do it and not panic. Understood? Okay, Jimmy, I'm going to unmute you here, buddy, because I'd like to hear more about what you've got there on the thing. So welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Commander Dan, you know, I always love your opening statements. And, you know, it's because of you that my yellow legal pad company that sells me my paper is in business. But, and God bless you. And I did put in my chat room that he had some technical issues this morning, and we are so happy that you chose to go ahead and do this tonight. But, you know, back to your points. See, I've been kicked off Twitter several times, and the last one I set up, and I think the other one that I'm in jail in would probably be working by now, but I really chose a different tact. And for those that don't know what tact is, if you're a sailor or a sailboater, you set your jib and you set about your mission. And Dan, back in our day, we didn't have any merc cruisers in the back, but I kind of do. But yeah, I'm just going to kind of bounce around what you said. Our parents, Dan, that is the, in my humble opinion, the most important topic for our group to bring up, because as you and I have talked about and others on your various shows, calls, my dad and my mom were the best on the planet, and I don't want you to get me wrong, but if I did something wrong, I would be part of the living room wall, or I would go out and cut a switch in the back, and I mean that. And you know what? There was it was all the psychology. There was only one time I really got my ass whooped with Dad's belt, and then later in life he figured out that it was my brother. And he never forgot that. But, you know, what does the Bible say? Spare the rod, spoil the man?
Well, is no, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Okay, well, thank you. The yeah. Child, yes, because a man should have graduated from SED, so thank you. And I'm going to cover a lot of ground here because I covered all the hearings on my channel, and if anybody needs to stay in touch, and Dan and I, you'll cover, if you give me enough time, we're going to touch on that. But there is something coming, and I'm not a wacko. I don't need to be doing this, nor does Dan, nor do any of the affiliates that Dan and I have grown to trust, or even in my group. And we all have bigger things to do. But Dan, I care about my sheep. And I mean that with respect. It was laid on my heart years ago to, you know, be a broadcaster and provide some way for people to gain trust and keep in touch. And I've always had a rule, and I'm going to be steadfast on it. There's no send Jimmy money. And I know folks that are doing what we're doing, Dan, they do need to be monetized. And I don't mean to go against them, but the Lord has blessed me enough to where, now let's move on. Ham radios, if you have a base station, you have a ham license, and you have a little Bofang radio, you're in good shape. If the folks that I've sent Bofang radios to as friends, they're not meant to save the world, but if Dan and I are going to do a show, and Dan, I just volunteered this time, but we're going to do a show to teach you how to program in a relay station that will at least allow you to get current news. And the good news about the ham network, the chances of having a CNN and fake news is slim to none. Now, if you have a ham radio and you do not have a standard or technical license, I encourage you to go ahead and get it set up, because I don't think if the shat is hitting the brown matter's hitting the blades that the FCC police are going to be out. But who will be out are the folks that do have call handles. So I recommend that we all buy the radios. I recommend we use them mostly to listen. But if you're in trouble, serious trouble, key up and state your name and state your address and state your state of emergency, Dan. You see where I'm going with that?
Right.
Because we cannot convict someone. But I think the FCC, even though over the years, and I am a licensed FCC operator, I have been for years, and I used to tell people, if there's a state of emergency, Dan, no one's going to come after you, because unless you're, you know, doing a block of the channel or just doing something harassment, but if you're attempting to render aid to those that are stranded, flooded, on fire, whatever, I really don't see the FCC messing with you during that period. And if so, I got a couple buddies that are attorneys that will make sure. You see where I'm going? I don't encourage anyone to violate the transmit rule. You can certainly listen. If it's on your antenna, it's yours. But when you key up, just be sure that you're licensed. And if it's a 911 situation, don't worry about it. Key up and ask for help. Or if you recognize Dan or I on the relays here in Florida, which Dan and I'm going to commit your time this week, brother, are going to get set up and tested. And do we have time, Dan, in closing? October 3rd is approaching, and my gut, Spidey Sense, is going to be watching out for October 3rd. I'm not a date setter. And if I'm wrong, I'm happy. But the dual broadcast test, which George P.P. Bush, W. Bush, actually started the legislation, and then Obama pushed it through, but they've never used it. Now, you and I, most of us have cell phones, and we'll get the Amber Alert and that annoying tone, but this wireless service to your smartphone, Dan, it gives a direct voice access. So the president or his appointed spokesman will actually come on our wireless devices like Communist China in Town Square, Red Square.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to test it, so we're going to find out. There's just an awful lot of things going on. That's why I say where there's smoke, there's fire. We can't define exactly who's doing what to whom, but there is an awful lot of smoke on the horizon, and that's the warning.
Well, Dan, let's go to that point, brother.
To be on alert.
Yeah. Well, the smoke I see, of course, is the Kavanaugh and all that, which I am, you know, a trooper on Twitter on as we speak. But also, when I go to a magic show, I don't go for the entertainment. I go to see if I can bust the guy slipping the rabbit out of his back pocket. Okay? I'm sorry to wreck the thrill, but you're right, Dan. This Kavanaugh thing, in my humble opinion, is a huge smokescreen, not to say it's egregious, but real quick, if I may comment, I talked to my friend that's retired Secret Service. I say, hey, you know, is Flake playing a card that we should be paying attention to? Now, I'm not saying he's not a traitor, but what he did, in my humble opinion as an engineer, is he moved it out of the committee with a positive vote. And, again, I am not defending his decision, but I have to be fair as an engineer. Is it possible that all the theatrics and the two illegal aliens and him looking like a, you know, somebody stole his teddy bear, could that not be a strategic move that turned it around on the Dems to where we're not going to really focus on Kavanaugh per se? We're going to now, and I command the FBI, and I've been all over their ass on Twitter, I want you to go after the people that testified and sent under perjurious incarceration and charges. Go after them. Give me, and I'm going to yield here real quick, Dan, because you give me a lot of time. But you know what? A lot of people in my group are this. Why don't we, as the employer of the FBI, command them to do a full and thorough background check, not only on the members of our Commerce, Senate, and House commutative, but how many cases have we paid for? You, Dan, me, Jimmy, and everyone else in the sound of our voices to cover up sexual harassment cases in our very houses. How many? I have an answer, but go look, folks. And with that, Dan, thanks for giving me the mic, and I yield, brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep, you're right on all that. Senator, the chairman, Grassley, I just saw something on a headline that said that he has done just what you said. He is calling for a Department of Justice / FBI investigation for potential perjury by a witness. So things are heating up. A lot of this Kavanaugh stuff isn't because so much of Kavanaugh himself. It's because they know from the different things that have been leaked that the playbook for the good guys, let's just say the good guys, the playbook for the good guys is to get Kavanaugh on the court, and then right after that, the declassification going after the traitors. So that's why they're fighting
that's
Kavanaugh.
That's right.
It's got nothing to do with Kavanaugh himself. It's got to do with
And see, brother, you're right.
Right.
But see, if I may interrupt for a second, in the past, when these type of political games have been played, I myself even was awake during the Anita Hill thing. I saw in the paper, and I didn't give it any attention. Shame on me.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, and I'll yield after this, what I believe in my studio here tonight, and thank you for giving me time, is the Democrats opened the barn door so wide that if you and I don't drive our tractor of justice in, shame on us. And with that, I yield.
Yeah. Well, things are going to happen rapidly starting this month of October. You watch. We said weeks ago on the radio that we were entering a period where you're going to see some really, really amazing stuff come to the forefront, and that's already happening. The worst is yet to come. Many people have said that. What you're seeing and being revealed right now is only the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see some absolutely horrendous things brought to light that have been done by the very people that we were told as kids that we could trust.
Hey, Dan, that end, see, you just nailed it. Don't get complacent. And don't listen to the positivities that Dan and I bring to the table, because while they're relevant, it is the fact that we now have a substantial weapon or case, and once we fire the bullet of justice, and I mean that not shooting somebody, I mean the bullet of justice, for God's sakes.
Figuratively.
Figuratively. It's kind of like the aluminum foil. Anyway, but seriously, and don't call me Shirley, it is going to interrupt one or more services for one or more of us in this country. And frankly, and don't call me Shirley, we have to prepare for that, which comes full circle back to beans, rice, Spam, Underworld deviled ham. You can get a can of that crap on Amazon for $2. And when I say crap, it's better than nothing. Okay, it's high in sodium, and that's not all good, but storables away. If you don't need them, then, I hate to throw food away, but if you choose not to, you see where I'm going, folks? It is absolutely go time, and I hope I'm wrong, Dan. You and I have talked for months about, will we make it to the midterms? What's going to happen? You and I didn't really understand how huge this Kavanaugh thing has become, which is obvious that they're distracting us from something.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There's a lot of stuff going on. That's one reason I wanted to ask you. Now, you'd put in here that the two planes went down. You said you lost two good friends. So you want to expound upon that?
Mr. Fox, Dan, I've sent you in teaser mode. We do Cigar Dave shows at the there's a private hangar set just off the east runway at Tampa International, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my buddies have, they have like 20-seaters, mostly jets, but they have a couple of turbos, okay, turboprops, which are the 20-seaters. And they've been friends for a long time. Well, Mr. Fox, 65 years old. Dan, he's your age, and my buddy, Music Man Barry, out there in Texas. They fly mostly private. Okay, and when I threatened to go out and see Music Man Barry, and frankly, I think I mentioned to you, these guys, I hire them. They're the pilots. They get the plane. They fuel it up. The good news is I have my clearance, so I can get on board with my luggage and even my firearm on my hip. And we just, typically from Tampa to Jacksonville or Tampa to Atlanta. And the flight is typically either empty or a couple other people that are vetted. Pilot, I found this to be odd, but my friend Mr. Fox was sitting second seat, and the pilot was also very experienced, but very young man. Well, the story goes that they overshot the runway in South Carolina. No real trouble reported, nothing, to wave them off or let them circle or dump fuel or anything. And the pictures show that the fuselage just below the bulkhead separated from the plane upon impact. Okay, that happened. And the funerals this week, and I'll be attending all that. But the other breaking news in South Carolina, and I forget the, I don't think it, I think it was a, it was one of our hybrid military planes. It wasn't an F-16, I think it was something like an F-35 or something.
Bravo.
Yeah,
F-35,
okay.
Bravo.
And we have never lost one of those, Dan, in
nope.
my readings today. Okay,
nope.
And this
never
pilot
lost.
Did eject. See? Now here's the rub. That's all in our friend from South Carolina's jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I mean, right?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham.
Mr. Lindsey Graham, correct.
Right.
So, Dan, you know, I'm not here to make woo-woo. I'm not here to, you know, you and I are both educated men. We've both met each other several times. We both know none of us are here for the money. We both know that we're not here for the sensationalism. But, Dan, I just can't buy that these two planes didn't have some type of other external force. Hey, I've known Mr. Fox. I mean, this guy could fly those jets, and he was in a 12-seater. You know, and 14, including the pilot and co. I sent you pictures. I was inside that plane at the last Cigar Dave show. How in the world? And we're still waiting for, you know, the coroners. Well, they might come out with. But see, my guy, the old guy, he was flying right seat. So it's not like the pilot had a heart attack or anything. And even if he did, there's always two pilots in these planes.
Right. Right.
Anyway, it's sad. I got a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't believe it. It'd be like if someone called me and said, hey, Dan, won $20 billion in the lottery, and he's got a limo sitting out front. You best shit, shower, and shave, and get down there and take care of some business. It was just unbelievable news, Dan.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that plane was the one that you've been in and that you knew the pilot personally.
That's in one of the pictures I sent you. Remember, I got the gals and the Cigar Dave, and that's all at
yeah.
a private airport.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that adds to the mystery then somewhat because it's not a coincidence. Q is all the time telling us that a lot of people write things off as coincidence. Q is basically saying there is no such thing as a coincidence. So the fact that it's South Carolina, the fact that it's Lindsey Graham's state, Lindsey Graham has turned completely around to going from a close ally of the traitor John McCain and anti-Trump to being just the opposite.
Nailed it. Once McCain...
Yeah.
got out of his face, Brother Dan,
right.
I've seen a change in Mr. Graham. And I
yeah.
used to admonish him. I mean, but now I thought his narrative and his alpha male attack, in other words, he has redeemed himself. And real quick, I said this to another buddy tonight before we got on the phone. You know what? If the FBI and CNN both turned around and did the right thing, they would become heroes. We could restore the respect for the FBI. And I said this to my retired guys on a closed call today. Hey, quit dicking around. You want to restore your integrity? Get rid of the assholes at top and bring in some good people. Here's your chance. Same with the networks. Same.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their chance. But, Dan, more importantly, before I yield, here's our chance. The damn back door is open. And if we attack respectfully and legally and all that happy shit and demand certain things from, say, the FBI or the sheriffs in the local community. We demand, here's our proof or here's our concern. We can turn this around, and that might be the pain that we've been assuming is coming, is for people like you and I and our listeners to participate in doing said, Dan. And that certainly beats street riots, which, you know, even in Trump's recent rally, there's punks on the street that don't even know how to fight. it's almost like the two backpacks are gonna knock the asshole down. They can't even throw a man punch. They fight like girls.
They're only there because they have Soros and Rothschild shekels in their pockets. That's the only reason they're there. So as soon as that dries up, as soon as the Bolshevik Zionists that are behind all of this troublemaking, they get rounded up and their financial tentacles are chopped off, you're going to see all these rioters disappear. These people don't give a damn about anything. They're there because they're being paid. They're no different than a mercenary army. I have no respect for mercenaries. They do what they do for money. That's the same as a gangster, the organized
crime.
It's
the same as a hitman, Dan.
The same as a hitman.
If I call you up and say, hey, Dan, and this is speculative, folks, if anyone's recording this, this is only speculative, but, hey, Dan, I can't stand my wife anymore. Listen, I'll pay you X amount of dollars. And I know she's going to be at the Circle K in 10 minutes. Are you game? I mean, this is exactly, but to my point, brother, the door is wide open.
Well, that's why Q is telling us that we're part of the army. Even General Flynn made a statement the other day alluding to the fact that we have an army of digital soldiers.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
And that's us. That's the people that are sending tweets and emails and Facebook entries and memes and the Anons that follow the 8chan and Q and all that. Those are all cyber warfare warriors trying to get truth out around the chokehold that the Jews have had over media in this country. And
Dan, during the Anita Hill hearings, we didn't have that type of communication. So they got away with it. And
exactly.
Again, folks, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure. Okay, that's speculation. But fast forward to what Dan just said. They are so, so upset at the fact that we can communicate, and even Twitter, you know, my 400th account is sticking because I'm telling you to F off in a very polite way without using words like Muslims or illegal aliens or anything like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, and to circle back to what's coming, what I believe in my wheelhouse, I am really watching my network, Dan. You know, you had an interruption this morning. There has been several interruptions across our country, AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, okay? Listen. There's not just one cup and string holding us all together. There is no way in hell, and they always say it's a fiber cut. Really? If I cut a vein in my body, it's going to be a problem, but I'm not going to die. It's the same with our internet. Our internet is a well-engineered backbone of redundancy upon redundancy upon redundancy. There is no way in hell, in closing, that Johnny Lunchbucket accidentally dumped a backhoe in my backyard to put in my pool. The infrastructure is not that volatile. Even here, it was a traffic accident. Really? So a car crashes into the pedestal from 20 frickin' years ago? I disagree, because I know that pedestal's dead. I know everything's underground back here. And so then they call security on me because I'm being threatening.
Mm-hmm.
I've shared that with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
My internet backbones, Dan, are my lifeblood. And, of course, you and I talked about backups and you know, my clients that rely upon my little private cloud server here are going to be in the deep shit as we are, so I'm not too worried about that. And real quick, same with the ham radios. You do want to go at least get your standard or technical license. It's not that expensive. And most ham radio clubs are good people like us. But the reason I've sent people radios is you can listen all you want, but if the shit chat brown matter is hitting the fans and you need help, you need to know what to key up on and give them your address and ask for help, Dan. And I sent you a little email on that because you and I have both have bases, and we'll talk about all that later. But in closing, I believe from my wheelhouse, our connectivity is going to be slim to none, if not limited, in the coming weeks, sir. And with that, I yield.
Well, it could be. We need to be prepared for any contingency. And it's a good idea to have, if you're not going to go through and learn about hams, then you need to find out who in your community is a ham operator at the very least. If you're not already friends with them, you need to make friends with them, because it may get down to where that's the only kind of information you're going to get out to loved ones or to find out what's going on.
And they're typically, Dan, they're typically good. They're good guys.
Typically, they're good guys.
Yeah.
And it's not by accident that the vast majority of them are white guys. It's just not an accident.
They're all white guys like you and I. They're techie freaks. And you know what? It's just like me. I love teaching people something they don't know if they're receptive. And these guys are the same. The more hammers out there, the better. Same with my RC plane club. I haven't flown my little plane for a long time. But, Dan, same when I was boating or even camping. You get out there with these folks, and everybody's willing to help.
Right.
And I'll go back to the ham guys. I have not met a ham club or someone that I suggested a ham club to in your local community, and they'll meet at the library. They'll meet at the church. They might meet at somebody's house with great equipment.
Right.
They're good people. Go look for them now. Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, you can get into relatively cheap, believe it or not. You can get into 2 meter and 70 centimeter band radios very inexpensively. They're very good. And with the repeater system out there, you can reach out many more miles than just your normal 1 to 4 watts that they put out, which is very short range. But You have repeaters that are run that can take that and expand it tremendously. The point of it is, like Jimmy says, you don't want to wait till an emergency comes and then try to learn. The time to learn is now. I picked up a copy of Ham Radio for Dummies just for the hell of it. I already had 3 or 4 books on ham radio back when I bought my rig. So get them back out. Refresh your memory, learn what the frequency bands are. The main thing about the reason they want you to be licensed is so that you don't violate the rules and talk over people.
Well,
it's just like when you go down the street, you've got red lights, you've got stop signs, you've got yield signs,
right,
and you're expected to know what they mean before you drive a car. Well, it's the same way with ham radio. There are firemen on these radios. There are rescue trucks on these radios. There are electrical linemen on these radios. There's hospitals, ambulance drivers. I mean, so it's just like at the airport. It's just like driving a car. You have rules. You've got certain lanes, which in this case is frequencies that you can talk on and those that you can't. So you just learn those things, how to get your way around, and just listen. There's no license required to listen. And there's a lot of fun in just listening. I listen to the NOAA weather every night. I listen to a couple of local rescue facilities and their remote guys calling in on the to the dispatcher. I listen just to see how they communicate, what kind of call signs they have, what kind of language, just like when I learned Citizens Band Radio, by the way.
Regga 19, this exactly. is C. Bam Bam. But you know what, Dan C., you're right, and if you're not licensed in a situation of emergency, I recommend the basic protocol of, you know, don't say break 19 or all that happy stuff. That was fun back then. But, you know, permission to speak or permission to transmit is really the etiquette for a non-licensed. Permission to transmit, and either the operator of the relay or someone like you and I that are listening to the relay with licenses could come in. Okay, permission to speak. Is this an emergency? There's a protocol. Yes, it is. You know, I'm in a boat 5 miles off Egmont Key. I need help. All right, stand by. And then you get the U.S. Coast Guard on, Dan. That's what's going to happen. But back to what you said to everyone listening, get at least a little four water. Dan and I, or Dan, I'm going to volunteer your time, because we can have probably an hour show, and I'll put it up in video, and we'll do it on my show so people can follow along and still hear us. But when you have a relay from your little handheld, you're really setting up four different I/O channels. So when you transmit, it goes to the relay, and then the relay knows what frequency you're trying to get to. So, Dan, you down there in South Florida, you know my signal here, my frequency here is XYZ, 165.66, okay? Well, you bounce up to the relay, but you've told it that when you go to the relay, you really want to talk to Jimmy at 165.66 here in Tampa. So it is a little bit cumbersome, but once you guys understand it is a relay. It's, remember the old days, Dan? And when we were kids, you'd have to pick up the phone and talk to an operator to even dial long distance. She or he was the relay.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, folks. But at the end of my rant, I hope I'm wrong, Dan, but the next week is going to be very interesting, and I just urge us that are all together by email or even ham radio, in the event that things go dark, we have to know to meet by the merry-go-round at 5 o'clock, folks, or our unity and our momentum is almost dead, gone.
Well, and the other thing that I would remind everybody that we are watching a show, and even Q calls it a show. So anytime there's a show and you're not part of the crew that put the show together, you're not sure, you can't be 100% sure who's playing who. So if we're wise as Yahweh commands us to be, we should understand that it could be good guys or bad guys putting this show together. And so that's why I always want to end it with this admonition or this caveat that anybody trying to disarm us, anybody, no matter where they come from, what kind of uniform they have, what kind of paperwork they have, anybody trying to disarm us is our enemy, period. There is no justification for the disarming of the patriots in this country. There's none. The Dick Act makes it illegal. The Constitution makes it illegal. Common sense makes it illegal. Biblical law makes it illegal. The right to life and to protect ourselves, everybody's given that from birth on, makes it illegal. Therefore, nobody under any circumstance has the right to disarm us. And
Amen.
If there's a group of people coming down the road confiscating weapons, they are our enemy. Jonathan Locke, one of the founding fathers and a philosopher, and his last name is L-O-C-K-E, Jonathan Locke, you can look it up. As he said, any man or group of men trying to disarm you, they are your mortal enemy.
Enemy.
All right, folks? It's as simple as that. So all you patriot groups, I know you're out there. All of you militiamen, I know you're out there. All the constitutional sheriffs and their men, I know you're out there. I've spoken to the militia within the state police of several states. I know you're out there. Just understand one thing. Anybody, under any circumstances, trying to disarm us will be treated as an enemy of us. I don't care what kind of rhetoric you throw. I don't give a damn what kind of international law you might want to quote. I don't give a damn what anybody in Washington says. And I sure as hell don't care what Tallahassee says. When it comes to my right to life and to protect what I'm responsible for, you do not have the right to legislate that away. You don't have permission.
Let's go back to your
oath,
Dan. You're a military guy, and it was a crowd pleaser on Twitter. I posted the military oath. I, blank, state your name, whatever, and foreign or domestic.
To protect
foreign
it.
Or domestic enemy. If you know, and I went round and round with this asshat yesterday, and I finally, you know, I tried to be patient. And, you know, he or she was saying, you know, why is it that we're, you know, taking kids away from their parents when they cross the border and all this other happy shit? First of all, I'm a very compassionate man, Dan. And if I met a couple that truly came over the border that was trying to escape oppression, I think we do, as a country, have a way to do that. But 90% of these people are pack rats. Those kids are not theirs, number one, which means we're being boofed, which means don't pull at my heartstrings. Secondly, this guy goes to go on, what are you, some kind of white supremacist? And I said, you bet your ass I am. You bet your ass I am. We built this country. And no Muslims. Listen, I don't care if you're Muslim. Well, I do, because Muslim is a belief in something that we don't want here. And that's what's wrecking Minneapolis, St. Paul, actually the whole state of Minnesota, Oregon, Washington State, California, full of Fruit Loops. And Sharia this, and, you know, if you're caught with a plastic knife, you could go to prison. Screw you, Jerry Brown. Hey, I would love to go out there and meet that asshole. But anyway, back to the real point. We all took an oath as even, I'm not military, I went college route, but I'm still a United States citizen. And I consider myself to be under the same oath that Dan and others have taken to defend this country against both enemies, foreign and domestic, and the U.S. goes on to say, and obey the orders of the President of the United States. Well, Dan, being a military man, if the President calls me up today and says, Jim, I want you to jump off the Sunshine Skyway and kill yourself, that's an order that we can say no to, Dan. And I'm sure there's some, you know, you being a trained Air Force guy, where I didn't do that. But, you know, you did have some solace
discretion.
And common sense. Discretion. Thank you. Thank you. Very good word. But I'm going to finish up with this, and thanks for letting me grab the mic again. At the end of the day, folks, the Democrats have opened a huge, huge door in the barn called the United States of America. if we, the people, under said oath, fail to absolutely insist that our FBI, and I'm on them like sink on shit, they try to get on me, now it's my turn. I demand, with all due respect, that you go investigate Feinstein and her staff and all this silly crap. Because at the end of the day, folks, and Dan, I'm going to yield, I promise, we hire and elect these people. We pay their salaries. And ask yourself this, especially with Feinstein and McCain and his legacy, how in the world, I want you guys to help me out here. I'm pretty good with finances, but if I take in $174,000 a year and I live my life through even modicum expenses, how in the frick am I worth $68 million today? Help me understand that math.
Yeah, well,
and with that, Dan, I yield. Yeah.
It's corruption. Obviously, it's corruption. And that's what they're afraid of. All this stuff's going to come out. They've got it all, okay? They're only giving us bits and pieces of it, but trust me, they've got it all. And the plan, if everything goes according to plan, they're going to reveal it very, very soon. Why it's tied to the Kavanaugh thing, I don't know if it's a diversion or there's something else that they've got tied to it, but for some reason, they're... Kavanaugh being appointed will be a trigger point, and then things are going to go really downhill for these criminals from that point on.
Well, may I offer an opinion, Dan?
Sure.
I truly think, after watching the hearings and discussing this with several people and airing people, the Kavanaugh thing is a huge diversion. Now here's the puzzle. Here's the $6 million final question on the test. What are they really up to? And they have opened the barn door up, like I suggested earlier, so wide that shame on us if we don't back the truck up in there and really truly drain this swamp.
Oh, we have
Feinstein.
To.
Well,
yeah, we have to.
But see, our opportunity is now. And you know what? The criminals open the door. Feinstein, all of them, Dan.
Yep.
Now, if we don't back the truck up in there right now, and I'll yield, then we're going to lose this. And the only other option we have to attack again is if, in fact, which I think will happen, is the Republicans do survive the midterms. But I think, back to your point, they're up to something else, Dan. They're keeping us all focused on this Kavanaugh, and she's not even a doctor. She's a post-hole digger, PhD. By the way, no offense to those with PhDs, because I hold two. But we're pulsed or piled hard, high and deep. But, Dan, there's something else looming, brother. Do you have any input on that?
No, other than the fact that it's, to me, it represents smoke, and that's what I'm warning everybody about. Unless you're inside the inner circle, there's no way of knowing. But you can see the smoke. So something's going on. We've been warned. Our spidey senses are telling us that. The Holy Spirit's telling us that. The Q is telling us that, whoever it is. And if you're just paying attention to the signs, it's telling us to be on alert, full alert at this point. But anyway, I may, if it becomes necessary at some point, I may start doing a daily broadcast. I'll try to keep it shorter and cover only the salient points, but if things start really, really happening, I may switch to a daily broadcast. So I'll keep that in mind, but we're at the 2-hour point, so I'm going to go ahead and shut her down. I'm going to read Psalm 91 here before we close, but any closing comments there, Jimmy? Did I lose Jimmy?
No, I'm here. I mute myself here.
Oh.
But anyway, Dan, thank you again for making me part of your calls. And I would applaud a daily show, and I would also be honored if I could mirror said.
Mm-hmm.
And don't need to be a part of each, but in the coming days, I think it's very important that our little treehouse here, we keep in touch. And with that, Dan, Yahweh bless, and thank you for your gift of time, sir. And I'm glad you made it on today, because I look forward to Sundays at 10 a.m., and I'm glad you you did your Sunday show, sir. God bless you. Yahweh bless.
Okay, Jimmy. Yahweh bless, buddy. Okay, we'll take a quick call here. We got Curtis out in Texas. Welcome to the program, Curtis.
Oh, I'd like to put out that the Jews have a way of concealing information, and whoever controls the money can conceal the information and reveal it whenever they want it to manipulate it the way they want it.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. They are the deceiving enchanters from the Garden of Eden on. Nakash. That's exactly what they are. Christ identified them, and that's why they had them murdered. And that's why they're trying to shut all of us down as well, because we're identifying the liars and the misfits that are walking amongst us. So they're trying to shut us down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else, buddy?
Oh, just listen to the show. It's a great broadcast.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And again, for you and for every other listener, as we're entering a very, very precarious time in the history of our nation, if you have any information that needs to be shared, please contact me. We can either set up and do a special broadcast, or I can just do it as a email send out, or I can post it on my website. But take advantage while we have these mechanisms at our disposal to get this information, these truths out to our brothers and sisters. So keep that in mind as we go forward. But anyway, Curtis, thanks for calling in, and Yahweh bless you. And be safe, buddy. Be safe.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we close, I'm going to read Psalm 91, which is the soldier's psalm. It's what the 91st Brigade in World War I used to say this psalm on a daily basis. They all agreed to do it. And miraculously, the 91st Brigade went through one of the bloodiest battles of World War I and did not lose a single man when every other outfit was losing anywhere from 30 to 60% casualties. So take it for what it's worth, but it's always known as the soldier's psalm, and here's why. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh your refuge, and the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Those last three verses were the words of our Heavenly Father Yahweh. And the fact that they're right there, folks, you call upon him. Call upon his name. They know my name. You know, there's a reason why the Jews, the publishers, and the profligate Judeo-Christian churches have succumbed to the devil's kids in taking Father's name out of the scriptures. There's a reason for that, obviously, because there's power in the name. And a lot of people say, well, what difference does it make? Well, okay, then you don't believe the scriptures, obviously. And if you don't think there's power in that name, then why is it that Jews are not allowed to say that name? Did you ever ask yourself that? Because they're cursed if they do. They don't have a right to call on his name because they're not his children. You and I are. It's one of those little ironies, isn't it? We don't use it, and we have the right to. In fact, we're expected to. They don't have a right to use it. And we allow them to get away with such nonsense as saying it's too holy. It's too holy. That'd be like my kids say, I can't call you dad, because it's, you know, it's too sacred. I'll call you something else. No. It's time to wake up, brothers and sisters, especially at this point in time. But think about the things we talked about tonight. Play it over again where we were talking about the radios and supplies if you have to. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family members. Talk to fellow believers. We're running out of time for preps, and you're running out of time to get right with our Heavenly Father. So I hope you're taking both of those things into account at this time, folks. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share with one another and for the ears that will hear this message unknown to us. We know it goes out there. We know it goes through the people. It goes through the hilltops and the vales. It's going all over this world because it's your truth, Father. You said that my word would not come back to me void, and it is not. Many are waking up not only to the lies and the deceptions of the corrupt governments and corrupt bankers and merchants of this world and the rapists and the warmongers, but also the truth of who you are and what you really said and what you really stand for. And it's certainly not what these mainstream whitewashed sepulchers called churches are teaching. So the truth is going out. It is becoming a flame and a fire, and it will consume the wicked. It will consume those who would not that Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, would be their ruler. It will consume and destroy them. Hallelujah. We don't want any of them to survive anyway, do we? So, Father, watch out for us as we go forward, especially in the coming days. Keep us alert. Let the Holy Spirit be our comforter, but also our advisor and our help in translating and discerning the times. Help us reach out to each other as brothers and sisters and family members, that we can work with each other and help each other to understand things and lift each other up too. Many of us are under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, because we see what's coming. We also pray that more people would wake up and want to come back to you, because there is where our refuge is. You and your law are the only law that makes sense. No other law makes sense. So we have a lot to be ashamed of. We have a lot to be forgiven. And we ask the blood of Christ upon us to wash away those sins and to open our eyes. We ask that you would give us, again, strength, courage, and good discernment, a stiff backbone to stand up for righteousness and to stand against evil. And we also ask that you would protect us from our enemies, just as it says here in Psalm 91. We ask all this in the name of Yahweh, our El Shaddai. Hallelujah.